Our topic today is a well-worn halachic question, which in many communities is settled, but in some, not. And this topic, when we think about the time in which we live, is really an important one to reflect on from a halachic standpoint, because we need to know what to do. But this halachic discussion also should generate thoughts and feelings and perspectives about the reality in which we live. And so this topic is the question, the halachic question of the recitation of Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut, on Israeli Independence Day, which is generally observed, as it is this year, on the 5th of Iyar, although that is not always the case. And then there is further discussion, if you were to recite Hallel, what day would you say it? But let's assume, like this year, we are going to observe Yom Ha'atzmaut on the 5th day of Iyar. Is it halachically appropriate to recite Hallel? And if it's appropriate, perhaps it's even mandatory. And if you're going to recite Hallel, is that Hallel going to be recited with a bracha or without a bracha? Now, the stakes of the recitation of Hallel, in one respect, those are very high. There is an expectation that we should be in tune with Hashem and with the way that He runs the world, and that we should respond accordingly. I don't know if you got through all the Mar Makomos, the Gemara in Sanhedrin with Chizkiyahu. That is a very, very serious Gemara. That Chizkiyahu was such a leader, was such a significant spiritual personality, that he would have been Moshiach, except that he didn't sing Shira. He didn't respond with Hallel, some kind of song of appreciation for the fact that Hashem rescued him from the hands of the Assyrian throngs that were encamped outside of the gates, literally right on the doorstep of Yerushalayim. So when you have something like that, that the Baruch Hashem gives you as a gift, you need to respond with Shira. You need to respond. And if you don't, the Baruch Hashem is, you see, is disappointed. Is disappointed at that lack of response. And then the land has to say Shira. Now, there are very beautiful explanations to why Chizkiyahu did not. Life was complicated. The earth doesn't live with the same kind of complications. Lots of different hesberim explanations. But the Gemara is clear. The Gemara paskins. The Gemara says, the Rebbe Shlom said, he missed an opportunity. Should have said Shira. And so this question of the recitation of Hallel Yom Ha'atzmaut, it should give us pause. So where do we start from this? Well, there is one Mishnah that begins the discussion about Hallel that you saw, the Mishnah in Erechin on Daf Yud, where the Mishnah tells us that there was a Hallel, Rashi explains, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, that was sung by the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash when you offered specific sacrifices, certain karbanos. So there was a Shira, there was a song that would accompany every day there were certain sacrifices. That's what we model our Shir Shal Yom after, right? This song in the morning that we say. But there were 12 days, the Mishnah says, that there was a special Levium song that Rashi explains was the Hallel. And then the Gemara follows that up, you saw, with the 18 days, Shayachid Gomer B'Masa Hallel. The word Ligmor can mean to complete, but it also can mean to recite. So the simple understanding of Gomer B'Masa Hallel, Tosfos here points out, Gomer here does not mean to conclude and complete in its entirety, with the implication being there are other days that you do not read it in its entirety. Tosfos says that's not how to read it. Rather, it's to say it. That's what it means. And that's why there were some nuskos, I forget where I saw this even, years ago, that there were some Rishonim or Gaonim who had the nusach, Ashik Rishonim Tosfos Tzivanu, Ligmor Hahalo. We say Likro, they said Ligmor. But these are, whatever it's going to be, these are the 18 days that we have the recitation of Hallel. Very good. What is going to generate the Chi of Hallel? So the Gemara you saw goes through a couple of different suggestions. And one of those suggestions here in Yoram and Beis is in the context of Purim. What generated the Chi of Hallel on Purim? Exactly. What in particular is that categorized as? Purim de'ika Nisa. Nisa. a miracle. Now, this is interesting to think about. There's a discussion in Achronim. What kind of miracle will generate the obligation to recite Hallel? So some would say, only an open, overt, nes nigle. This Gemara poses a challenge to that. Would you say that the miracle of Purim was an overt miracle?
Sure.
You think so?
No, sure.
Why?
Because we were turned over. We went from...
Good. I like it. So I think the people who follow the Maritz Chayes are going to follow Dr. Blivis. But what else could you say? Could you disagree with the good doctor over here?
You could disagree. Say what?
In the Megillah, there's nothing about Hashem's name.
Right.
That's right. God orchestrated it such that Esther would be there exactly at the right time, and Mordechai would show up exactly at the right time, and all the pieces would fall together. But that's a question, if you call that a nes nigla. Is that a revealed miracle? That could arguably be categorized. Oh, exactly. It could be that that's the difference, by the way.
That's the difference. And open.
Good. So that may be the difference between, let's say, Pesach, the month of Nisan, when we celebrate the Geula, the redemption of...
That was an open miracle.
Bingo! But it's going to take us through the full cycle of the year to get to the month of... Exactly. And what do we say in the month of Adar? We say we celebrate a hidden miracle. So you could say that this Nisa, right, is more in the direction of a hidden miracle. It doesn't necessarily have to be. So that's an interesting question. And further discussion would need to be on exactly how do you categorize a miracle. So there is, in this context, it's just worth noting, you put this in your back pocket, not that God forbid anybody should ever need this, but there is a discussion in the Aruch HaShulchan, the great halachic work from Yevichiel Nechel of Devardik, where he talks about different kinds of miracles that a person may, we should never need such a thing, but may encounter, and what kind of halachic response does that generate. Let's say, God forbid, somebody was in a car accident, and they were saved from that car accident. So what do they categorize that as, and what bracha are they going to recite? Are they going to recite Birchas HaGomel? Are they going to recite maybe the bracha of Sha'asa Lines Bamakom Hazeh, a miracle happened to me in this place? These are good questions. So he actually has three strata of what qualifies as a miracle. So this is a good question, Bechlal, and I want to put it on the back burner, but just so you should realize the complexity here, but this is a categorization, that there is the concept of a nes, which the Gemara assumes should generate an obligation to recite Hallel. Does anyone here recite Hallel on Purim? No. Why not? So the Gemara gives you three reasons why that should be, and we saw there's also the parallel Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yudalid. What's interesting is that if you notice, there's a slight difference between the two Gemaras. The first Gemara you have is in Erechin, it's on Daf Yudalid Beis in page 2. The Gemara in Megillah is in page 6. The Gemara in Erechin is working off of the argument that you should recite Hallel because of the Nes. The Gemara in Megillah is working off of a slightly different argument, where there the Gemara says that the institution of Mikra Megillah is unusual because it emerged from a class of people known as Nevi'im. Nevi'im, prophets, they innovated this concept called the recitation of the Megillah. Obviously, it can't say in the Chumash that you read the Megillah. It didn't happen yet. So they had to use drashos, they had to use rabbinic tools to figure this out. This is just parenthetically, because a Navi, a prophet, has to give us spiritual guidance, but is not authorized, has no right to give us legislative guidance. A Navi who's using his prophetic skills, or not really skills, but like his prophetic role as a Navi is not allowed to rule in law. It's an interesting distinction between a prophet who's meant to give spiritual and religious guidance overall versus a legal system. So what did the Nevi'im have to do? They couldn't say, oh, I had a prophecy. They said, oh, we're going to look into the books. We found this verse, this pasuk, that they darshaned to confirm that this should be the case. What is the argument that the Gemara presents? What did they darshan? They said, Uma me'avdus l'cheirus. What about a case? We have a case study. Precedent. Avdus l'cheirus. To go from avdus, what's avdus?
Slavery.
To cheirus. We said, Shira, when did we do that? When? specifically when did we... That's right, on the Yam, Yamsuf. Moshe Rabbeinu, Az Yashir, he's saying. So, that indicates that there has to be some kind of special response, just like we had the Shira as the response to the salvation when we went from servitude to freedom. Says the Gemara, what's the argument here? Mimoves lechayim, mimisa lechayim lo kol shekeinu. Is it not certainly true in a case where you go from misa, death, to life? And that generates the obligation to recite the Megillah. That's the origin of this argument. Says the Gemara, ooh, that's such a strong argument that the concept of the chiyuv shira, of singing that song, so shouldn't that song be expressed through hallel? Chapters of song that we find in Tehillim. So the Gemara gives us the three reasons that are found in Erechin. What were the three reasons? Number one, the Gemara says, you don't say hallel on a nes shebechutz laaretz. And the Gemara then has to qualify that to explain how that's different than leaving Egypt. But number one, because the miracle of Purim occurred in Chutz Laaretz, outside of Israel, no halal. That's answer number one. You would have generated a halal because of the Kal V'chomer, the logical inference. No, we reject that. Number two, the Gemara said, what was it? Kriyasa zu halela. The reading of the Megillah, that's the equivalent of the recitation of halal. So here's an interesting nafgamina of this shaila, as discussed in Achronim. If this argument is correct, says the Meiri, Rabbi Nachum HaMeiri in the Rishonim, he says, what if a guy doesn't have a Megillah? What should they do?
That's about it.
Say halal.
Why? Yes! Why, says the Meiri? Exactly, and the only reason you didn't say halal was because you had the Megillah to replace it. So this is a really interesting shaila halacha lemais. It comes up in Achronim, and then the last time that our family had the great privilege and the gift to be in Israel. So my son, Aryeh, for who we went to celebrate his bar mitzvah, so he had made a siyum on Maseches Megillah, and for his little Dvar Torah, his little Shtickle Torah, he said over this Meiri. So when we went, we had the great schus of meeting two great Torah giants. One is Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon Shlita, and the other is Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. So I introduced Aryeh to each one of them. So here you have this awkward, like 13-year-old American boy sitting with these two giants. So they each asked him, so what did you learn and what did you say? So I was kind of like, you know, giving him the little zets to make sure that he, you know, said what he's supposed to say. So he sends over to this Meiri. So each one of them opined halacha lemaisa, what they thought. Rav Rimon said he got a shaila like this from a soldier who was in a base in a tzava, and he didn't have a Megillah. So Rav Rimon thought he should say halo to be machmer for this Meiri, which is quoted by some of the Achronim. Rav Asher Weiss disagreed. Rav Asher Weiss thought that because the categorization halachically is that the Megillah essentially subsumes within it the halo, therefore the Meiri's opinion is not going to be followed because conceptually, fundamentally, Purim is not a day of halo. Why? Because it's a day of Megillah. And even though you may not have a Megillah, but as a matter of principle, Chazal never instituted it. So even halacha l'maisa today, between Rav Rimon and Rav Asher Weiss, there is this difference of opinion on this second answer in the Gemara. Then the Gemara has a third answer, and the Gemara says, well, it was very nice that we weren't annihilated. Well, thank God for that. But Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan, at the end of the story of the Megillah, the Jews were still under the thumb of the foreign rule of Achashverosh. Esther, we know, she doesn't have such an amazing Cinderella happy ending. She stays in the palace with this guy, Lo'aleinu. You know, it's not like, she doesn't go back to Mordechai and live happily ever after. It's not a Pasha thing. So, you know, we thank God for saving us, which is amazing. And Achashverosh, I guess we thank him for helping us, maybe. But Lamaisa, we're still stuck in Golis. Okay. So now, based on all of this, we should start thinking, how does this relate to being saved in other circumstances? We see that there are 18 days from which we draw an obligation to say hello. Both of those are Yom Tovim, biblical or rabbinic. Then we have this idea that, well, on Purim, perhaps we should say hello, either because of the the nes component, or because of this Gemara that we went mimavis l'chaim, one of those two is going to generate the chiyuv halal. Well, where does the chiyuv halal generate? Where does it emerge from in the first place? So you saw the Gemara in Pesachim, where the Gemara says this interesting idea that the Nevi'im, the prophets in the ancient days, that Nevi'im shebeinayim tiknu lahem li Yisrael shu omer oso, they made this enactment, al kol perek u perek, on every chapter, life story, v'al kol tzara v'tzara, and every, God forbid, lo aleinu, any difficult circumstance, shelo tavo aleihem. What does it mean, shelo tavo? Shouldn't happen. That's euphemistic Talmudic language, right? If you say, what they mean to say is, they made an enactment that any calamitous event that would happen when you are saved, you should say halal. But they don't say that. They say any calamitous event that should not happen. Why do they say that? Because they don't want to speak and utter even the words, Rahman al-Islam, that something bad should happen. You see the sensitivity of the language here. The Chazal, they don't even want to say that such a thing, God forbid, should happen. This is very common in the Gemara. Use that kind of sensitive language. Yeah, God forbid, you shouldn't have such a thing. Uchel shenigolin, and when we are redeemed, omrim oso al geulasan. We say this on our redemption. So if that's the origins, that there is a rabbinic tradition going back all the way to the early prophets, that when you are saved from a difficult circumstance, you should say hallo. So it makes sense why, in the context of Purim, we would think to say hallo. It fits into the category of, we were in a tzara, we were under direct threat of extinction, and the Ribbono Shel Olam saved us through this orchestration of the story of Megillas Esther. Great. So now, so we start thinking. Hey, Iyar, Friday, Tavshin Ches, 1948. Does that experience of going from being under the British mandate in Palestine to having a sovereign state of Israel, does that generate a chiyuv halal based on these sources, this model? Okay, it's a good thing to think about. Well, in the case of Megillah, who was the beneficiary of that miracle?
Jews.
Which Jews?
Jews living in Persia.
Well, what did Persian Empire include at that time?
127 countries.
Yes. Were there any Jews not, were there anybody, any Jews not living in 127? Even Chabad didn't get beyond the 127 Medinas of Achashverosh, right? Everybody. So that was the threat of annihilation of Kol Klal Yisrael. What do you think about this? How's that going to be a model for us? So this is an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. Well, what about if it's not all of Klal Yisrael? What if it's only part of Klal Yisrael? A portion of the Jewish people. Interesting discussion. Machlokas. What if it happens just to an individual? What if it happens to a whole community? So there is a tshuva from the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He wrote, I forget, like some 80-some svarim. He was a very important rabbinic figure in the 19th century. He was also a mishuloch from Israel who traveled all around Europe and had access to many interesting libraries and places that he went. So the Chida was asked about this, and it's published in his Tshuvas Chaim Shalom Chelek Beis Simin Yud Aleph, where he says, it's only all of Klal Yisrael. Not true for an individual. There are a lot more discussions about this. This is just al regalachas. If you want, anytime you find a tshuva in one of these tshuvas, you know you've got everything. Rav Ovadia, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rav Ovadia Yosef in the sixth chalak of Yabia Omer has a tshuva on this question. So he includes many, many more sources than we're going to talk about today. Tons, encyclopedic level. But this is the first issue to first think about, is this tshuva of the Chida, and this question of maybe this only applies to all of Klal Yisrael. Well, there is a model for this. Think about the Gemara back in Erechim, where we connected it to Chanukah. In Chanukah, we have a rabbinic mitzvah to say hallel every single day of Chanukah. Well, what about Chanukah? Who was saved in Chanukah? Well, the Jews in Israel. What about the Jews outside of Israel? So one way you could say it is, you see, you don't need all of Klal Yisrael, you just need some. Or you could say, no, since it was for the Beis HaMikdash, that Beis HaMikdash, that serves the entirety of the Jewish people. So that's like a nes for all of Klal Yisrael. A third option, which we don't have time to go into Ba'arichas today, Rabbi Ovadia mentions it offhand, but I've heard this, not in this context, but I've heard this idea many, many times from my Rebbe, Rav Shechter Shlita, from Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, that when it comes to a sense of community, national identity, the definition of the Jewish people, there's only one group of people that counts. The people living in Israel. We don't count, because we're not in Israel. It's a Gemara in the beginning of Horius and Daf Gimel like this. Practical Nafkamina applications are for establishing a Jewish calendar, Parholm Davar Shel Tzibur, other things like that. So that might be another answer. The miracle of Chanukah was for all the Jews in Israel. Great. So those are all the Jews that matter. So now you're thinking to yourself, in 1948, who were the recipients of this miracle? So you could say on the one hand, maybe it was only individuals. On the other hand, you say, no, that's not individuals. That's all the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. So that's called Klal Yisrael. You could say on a third hand, we're going to have a couple of octopuses today. On a third hand, you could say, well, even if it was only a miracle for the Jews in Israel, well, the fact that all Jews around the world have a place of refuge makes a different story. The Ribbono Shel Olam obviously orchestrated such that this is what had to be, that there had to be a night before the day. But imagine, had there been Medinas Yisrael in 1933. Who knows what would have happened? You know, people would have a place to go. Even after the Shoah, after everything was done, there were people that were put in internment camps, right? The British put them in camps because they couldn't go in. They didn't have a place to go. So it could be this is also. So this is the first thing to think about. Aleph, as it relates to all of Klal Yisrael. A second Ha'ara, which is interesting, it's related, but it's going to shed some light. Until now, we've been talking about one halachic question, and that is the question of Hallel. There's a separate question, not the same question, establishing a Yom Tov, a holiday. What you do on that Yom Tov is a good question. Maybe you have a Suda. Maybe you wouldn't have eulogies. Maybe you wouldn't be allowed to fast. Not related to the issue of Hallel, separate, distinct from the issue of Hallel, making a holiday. So this is the Gemara you saw in Rosh Hashanah, the whole question about Megillas Tainis, antiquated days that we don't observe anymore because Butler Megillas Tainis, except for Chanukah, right? That whole discussion, establishing a new Yantiv. This comes up, Halacha L'maisa, about establishing a personal Yantiv. Here is a fascinating Maramakum. This is the Sefer, a halachic work called Chaye Adam. Chaye Adam is a precursor, you could say, to the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. It's a basic compendium of Jewish law from one of the great luminaries in Lithuania in the 18th century, Rav Avram Danzig. He was mechutanim with the Vilna Gaon. So I wonder what that wedding must have been like. It's pretty awesome to be mechutanim with the Vilna Gaon. And he quotes him sometimes in that vein. He tells you a story. He says, this is way at the end, the last piece of the Chaye Adam. He says, I'll tell you what happened. It happened to us. Hanes shenas alonu b'shnas taf kuf samach dalet or liyom tez zayim b'kislev. What happened? On the night of this date, which I did a hebcal.com conversion, which comes out to November 30th, 1803. Yatza lalav min fulver. There was a fire and an explosion of fulver. It's Yiddish for gunpowder. There was a gunpowder explosion in their neighborhood. V'naflu kama batim b'chatzer v'gam bayis echad shali. There were houses that imploded because of the impact of the explosion. U'mecheder shayu sham kol b'nei beisi. My whole family was in a house that collapsed. Nafal shnei chatzi chomos v'kora achas. And he goes to give you in great detail how people were killed and his family was spared. And they accepted upon themselves, him and his family, Zecher Asan Levlosav, for him and his children, for every generation, below Neder, Yom Tesvav Kislev. And he explains why, that they should have a holiday. Achar Marav, after Marav, they should light candles like Yontif. Then he says, they should say Shira Yichud and Shira Kavod, and he gives you a whole bunch of Mizmorim Tehillim that they were supposed to say as a family, and then to make a Suda Lalom De Torah for the Talmud scholars, and give tzedakah to whatever you can afford. So there is such a thing, a personal Purim holiday. That's what Chayyan was discussing. So this Shaila came to the Chasam Sofer, the Heiliger of Moshe Sofer, the great engineer of Halacha, Rav Schwartz Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says from Rav Soloveitchik. Chasam Sofer was asked, can you make a personal holiday? So he goes back to a machlokas between the Maharam al Shakar and the Pri Chodesh, a whole long discussion. But he says, yes, and here's his argument. Ready for this? He says, you know the basis on which you can make the holiday? It's a kal v'chomer from death to life. He quotes the Gemara in Megillah that we saw. Wait a minute, that Gemara that we saw is about Hallel. And yet the Chasam Sofer is applying it to the context of a holiday. So for the Chasam Sofer, these two dinim are going to be connected. And that if, according to the Chasam Sofer, you are going to establish a holiday, which he says you can, for that community, so then you can also recite Hallel. And maybe you must recite Hallel. Right? Until this... in that community, exactly. But it's a source. Because until this point, I would have said, you know, how do you know you can learn from one din to the other? By the Chasam Sofer, connecting those two dinim through that Gemara, I see, oh, if I'm living in Israel, I can establish a day. This is where we were saved. Oh! So now, these two things put together can bring us to the conclusion, which is, we now have a good question on our hands. On the one hand, we say, to go from mavis l'chaim, to go from death to life, that will certainly create and generate enough of a chi of halal, if you assume that it's all of Klal Yisrael. And even if it's not all of Klal Yisrael, according to the Chasam Sofer, that would also generate. On the other hand, we still have open questions, which is why Rav Avadya Paskin is the way that the majority of the chief rabbinate has ruled for many, many decades. Even though the founding of the State of Israel was an incredible gift, if you look, Rav Mendel Kasher, the great Gaon of the 20th century, has a book where he lists with all the Pashkevilim, all the names of the great Gedolim and Admorim, who at the founding of the state said this is the first sparks of the flowering of the redemption, at that time, including Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and many, many other great Gedolim and Admorim. But nonetheless, from the Chiyuv of Halal, wait a second, the Nes side. So one question is going to be, was it an open miracle or a closed miracle? Was it a Nes Galui or not? So do you need it to be a Nes Galui? Goes back to that same question. And even if you need it to be a Nes Galui, maybe we reach that threshold. Maybe not. Further question, what happened historically on Hey Iyar? We declared independence, and then what happened? Exactly! The Arabs came and mauled us. And they started attacking us. And they killed many people, including Holocaust survivors, who showed up here and they gave them a gun. They said, shoot. So it was the beginning of the war. So maybe you could say, Alts the Atzma'ut was amazing. But Alts the Mavis to Chaim, death to life. It's a good question. Further question, can you say that the situation in Israel from a security standpoint, has that ever been solved from Hey Iyar, Tav Shin Ches?
Correct.
Right, exactly. It hasn't ever completely been solved to the extent that our neighbors, our cousins, the Hevra in the Middle East, they never said to us, you know, we're going to make peace with you guys. You have a tenuous peace on this side, you have a tenuous peace on that side, you go to the other side, there's no peace b'chalal, they're firing rockets from Syria still. So maybe you could say that we're not in a situation that we went from Mavis l'chaim. Which is why, if you look interestingly, the Tshuvas Kol Mavasar of Mishol Roth from Bnei Brak, this great Gadol, he says he thinks that you generate a Chi of Halal on Yom Yerushalayim more than Yom HaAtzmaut. Because he says on Yom Yerushalayim in 1967, the Arabs were actually threatening to literally drive this group of people and their whole state into the Mediterranean. And people were afraid. They were digging graves. They thought it was going to be lights out. Last time they make jokes in the newspaper, turn out the last guy, turn out the last lights in the cafe in Tel Aviv. And then we went mamish from Mavis to Chaim. So he thinks that it's dafka on Yom Yerushalayim you should make a bracha on your halal. But on Yom HaAtzmaut, it's very questionable. Which is why, in many places, the recitation of halal on Yom HaAtzmaut is without a bracha, which is the conclusion of Rav Avadya. You know, yes, he also discusses the spiritual progress that we need to make, which Baruch Hashem, we have made great strides in 75 years. But I think what is important is now that you see the complexity of the legal argument, we see how it's possible to get confused or sidetracked from the core point, which is that it could be that, you know, we don't say halal with a bracha because maybe the security situation is not totally solved and we can't say a kal v'chomer from Mavis L'chaim, or maybe it's not all of Klal Yisrael, depending on how you see it, or maybe it's not even open miracle, although you can contest each of those points. But you're going to get, if you're going to discuss it from this vantage point, you're going to get potentially distracted from the main nekuda, the main point, which is unbelievable. A nation, almost two millennia, drifting, floating, to come back to an ancestral homeland that people have been davening for centuries? That this is literally a living miracle, a proof in the eyes of many that God still exists, and that it's, in some context, a question on, you know, those who have said that God forsake us and gave us up for another religion, quote-unquote. You know stories about this from other faith communities. How unbelievable is that? You know, the next tshuva to Rav Avadya is, do you say Shechianu on Yom HaTzmaut? But whether or not you come on one side of this debate, halachically or the other, we should make sure not to lose sight of where we started, of the Chizkiyahu. To realize that we now have sovereignty, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Chanukah, Chazar Malchus Yisrael, Yeser Al Masayim Shana. We have sovereignty like it was in the days of Chanukah. We're two centuries of sovereignty, when, by the way, it was not perfect then either. You could argue that the government in those days was worse. But the idea that we need to acknowledge the gift, the Yad Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us in our time, Sheikh Yonu V'Kimonu V'Yonu L'Azman Azeh, things that our grandparents would have only dreamed of, Hayinu Kachomim, that is, I think, the most important thing to focus on. Yes, we need to figure out halachically the propriety of saying halal or not. You follow the minhag of your particular synagogue or of your family, but the expression, the feeling, the emotion of overwhelming gratitude that we feel for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, that needs to be, I think, the central focus on Yom HaTzmaut. And that's what we can focus on.